And with me now is Lisa Taylor, who is the director of the Wasp Museum in beautiful Sweetwater, Texas. Welcome to Wisconsin, Lisa.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, especially on this morning.
You know, we were talking just before we went on the air. It's a little cool today. Yes. We got a breeze right into the announcer stand here. But, Lisa, you said this is much better than it's been the past couple of days, because Sweetwater is in West Texas. It's usually breezy, but it's also dry.
Exactly.
Not humid like Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Wasp Museum in Sweetwater.
Sure. So this museum is located on Avenger Field, which is where the women Air Force service pilots trained to fly the military way. And so our mission, of course, is to preserve their legacy, but that field as well, right? So you'll hear their story everywhere, but when you come visit us, you'll see where they were, where they trained.
It's amazing. How long has the museum been there?
It's been almost 20 years. Yeah.
And you're in the middle of a revitalization of the facility?
So we have been. We actually closed the museum down for about 6 months while we were expanding. And that expansion was completed in May. Really, we had a fly-in on May 8th, and I would say that we finished the expansion on May 7th.
That's usually the way it works.
Yes.
So the what is in the new expansion?
So previously we had one hangar, an original 1929 hangar that served as the first airport for the city of Sweetwater, and everything was there, aircraft exhibits, all that. So we built a new hangar just across kind of across our campus, this air conditioned and heated, climate controlled, and it has a archival vault, gift shop. It's got a flex education room as well as a catering kitchen, and all new exhibits. And then in our original hangar, that's where the aircraft stays.
Excellent. What airplanes do you have there?
So the museum owns a UC-78 Bobcat, one of the last advanced trainer that they would have flown before leaving. And then we also own one of the primary trainers, the Stearman. And I'm sorry, I misspoke. The BT-13. That's the one we own. We have a Stearman that's on permanent loan in the museum.
Do those airplanes fly?
They do. They're all airworthy. None of them are static.
Excellent. And the UC-78 is here this week at
Oshkosh. It is. It's in Warbird Alley. You know, there's only about 5 to 10 that really fly, you know, that are truly airworthy. So we're pretty proud to have one of those.
Good. Tell us, if you would, when the ladies showed up in Sweetwater back in World War II, what was their experience and how did they progress through their flight training?
Sure. So, you know, it was very interesting. A lot of them were actually from this area, right? So it was a pretty big culture shock to come to Sweetwater, where everything was done really differently. But they loved it. They were there 6 to 7 months, depending on the weather. And during that time, they would spend half a day in ground school, you know, learning meteorology, navigation. They'd take engines apart, all of that, and then half a day flying. And so they would progress, starting with that the Stearman, and then move on up through the T-6 and the UC-78. So, yeah.
We talked about the kind of little culture shock maybe in the environment, but when the WASP program was underway, there was sort of a feeling that they would eventually be recognized by the military, and that didn't happen when the program came to an end.
Right. It did not. But you know what was interesting is, you know, I've listened to some of the interviews from the ladies, and, you know, a lot of them didn't even know they weren't in the military. As crazy as that sounds, you know, they just assumed they were part of it, and it was just a shocking conclusion, you know, when it went to Congress for that bill to pass and it failed. It was a very shocking moment.
And the program was very successful up until the point where the tide of the war changed, and a lot of the pilots who were overseas were coming back home, and they could really, because the original intent was to free up the male pilots to go overseas to fight in combat and have the WASP take care of moving aircraft back and forth and helping with training and so forth.
Right.
So when that tide switched, it kind of became very political.
Well, yes, because then they weren't freeing men to go. They were replacing men. And that's what America wasn't ready for, you know. In fact, Hap Arnold gave the last commencement speech, and he said that in his speech. He said, you know, we know you wanted to be here to free the boys. We know you wouldn't want to replace them. I think the ladies might have begged to differ, but
right.
Yeah.
How many, I guess it's kind of a hard question to answer, but how many of the original WASP have you been able to talk to or interview?
Oh, for me personally, probably just 5 or 6, honestly. We did a symposium in May, and Nell Bright and Shirley Cruz joined us virtually, which was such a treat. And I think if you've been sticking around here this week, you've seen Nell Bright virtually on several different stages. But yes, I've gotten to speak with Bea Hajdu. I know she passed away last year, and Cahill Brandt, same. So Dorothy Lucas is still with us. I've gotten to meet her. So it's been a real treat.
How many were in the original WASP?
So there were 28 originals that went through as WAFs, and then 1,074 that went in under Jackie Cochran, under the Flying Detachment. And then when it was all, you know, joined as one unit WASP, that made for just over 1,100.
And the program ran from 1942 until...
44. Right, till in December of 44. Mm-hmm.
So not, I know there were a lot of women who applied and were not accepted.
Yes.
Do you remember how many, what the ratio was between applications and acceptance?
So 25,000 applied. Of course, there were a lot of requirements, one of them being that they had to have their pilot's license, and not all 25,000 of them actually did. But just over a little over 1,800 were accepted. Right. And then of that, you know, 1,045 passed. Good. So, yeah.
And all of them went on to differing careers, and,
yes.
But not a lot of them stayed within aviation.
No, it was very difficult. You know, they went and they applied with airlines, and the airlines said, we'd be happy to have you as a stewardess. And so, you know, my understanding is most of those who got to continue flying did it privately. You know, they owned airplanes with their husbands, had small airfields, that kind of thing. But really not professionally.
You mentioned in the expansion of your new facility, yes, in Sweetwater, educational outreach. What kind of programming do you have?
So we're just getting that started. We're so excited. We have, we've started a program where we take the kids through what a day in the life of a WASP is. And so we have a great holographic film that they get to, it makes you feel like you're there, you're being trained, like it's your overview, right? And this is what to expect. And then from there, we have several different STEM activities that they go through that would simulate flying and ground school, you know. And then of course we weave in history so that they can kind of see and feel what it would have been like then. So that's a great start for us, but we are looking for some different partnerships, and our plan is to have aviation days and camps starting next summer. But right now, the museum is very full. We've got school groups in there every week, and we're just so happy.
And I'm sure they're happy to see the newly renovated facility as well.
Yes, it's beautiful. Yes.
What's ahead for the WASP Museum?
Well, so like I said, the education is really, really important for us. And, you know, our hope is to really take that inspiration, you know, from the WASP and help inspire young women and men to go into flight. We are partnering with legacy pilots. You know, more and more of them are coming into the museum. You know, we're looking for them to pair them up with kiddos and have mentorship, and really just ignite that excitement, right? Just like the Young Eagles program does, right? A lot of kids don't think about flight until they take an airplane, right? Right. So we're trying to ignite that fire.
Exactly. With the passing of the Greatest Generation, now it becomes very important for you and your staff and volunteers to continue to preserve and disseminate the WASP story. How are you planning on doing that?
Well, we just, you know, continue to visit with, you know, as many WASPs as we can and put together the best collections and the information. We go and we speak at a lot of different for a lot of different groups. I'm going to be the keynote speaker at the 100th Bomb Group in Dallas, which will have World War II veterans in the audience, which I'm so excited. I'm going to get to meet Marie Mountain Clark's husband, who was in the 100th Bomb. She was in the WASP. And so we do a lot of those kinds of speaking engagements. You know, we go as much as we stay. We want people to know who the WASP were.
What are some, I don't know, either a personal or encounter or something that you've saw in one of the oral histories that really stands out as some great memories of WASP?
So, like I had said yesterday, one of the oral histories with them speaking about how, you know, they didn't even know, right, that they were not in the military. So that really stands out a lot to me. I think the thing that I've enjoyed the most is realizing that they were so tough that when they faced discrimination, like, they just let it roll off their backs. You know, they had to step over it, right, to do what they needed to do. And, you know, I was speaking with Shirley Cruz, and she still has that attitude of life is, you know, like, people are going to say what they're going to say. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know, and they're tough. They inspire me every day.
Excellent. Lisa, where are you located on the field?
Yes, on a Sweetwater, Texas.
Right,
here in Warford Alley. So we have been, they moved the plane today for some pictures. I'm assuming they're moving it right back to where it was. But, you know, the stage, right, we're right by those bleachers, on the other side of the bleachers.
Great. And if folks want more information about the museum down in Sweetwater, where can they find you on the web?
Oh, that is waspmuseum.org.
Excellent. Lisa Taylor is the director of the WASP Museum in Sweetwater, Texas. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to EIA Radio.